So, as we going into this series on the Holy Spirit, after spending 7 weeks on the resurrection, I just reminded in the worship this morning that I don't think the Holy Spirit ever wants to be the focus of attention. And that much more his heart is always to reveal Jesus to us. And the question is not so much, have we received the Holy Spirit or do we have him, as much as have we received Jesus? Is Jesus living in our hearts? Because if that is true, then God will give us, he will pour out the Holy Spirit to us to enable us to live that Christian life. And that's what we've seen through the resurrection series, that for all the time the disciples had spent with Jesus, for all the lessons they had learned, all that he had taught them, all the practical experiences they had had as he had sent them out on different occasions to minister to people, they were still not ready, they were still not qualified or anointed or whatever the word would be to really minister and to take it, to live the gospel, and then certainly to be the witnesses to the rest of the world. And so that Holy Spirit becomes just so important, and it's part of God's plan. But again, it is not the focus of where we want our time and attention to be. And that's not to say we ignore him. That's not to say that we don't talk about him. But boy, as you go through scripture, oh, what was it, like 390 times Spirit is mentioned, or maybe just over 400 if you add a couple variations in the New Testament. But really not talked about a lot, and not the spiritual world, not explained all that well at times. And so the Spirit tends to sometimes, in some books of the Bible, kind of just not be forefront or not talked about much. And maybe a number of reasons for that. But anyways, then as we are going into this of just looking at the Holy Spirit, the power, the enabling, the gifts that he gives us, in that we saw last week that it was poured out on the day of Pentecost, last Sunday, to all the believers, and the promise there was to all mankind. It's available to everybody and is given then to all those that would put their faith in Christ. And it's given as a permanent gift that gives you life and gives you power. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. It's not focused or determined by what mood you're in or how things are going, or that the Holy Spirit is always available to us to help us live that Christian life and to be the witnesses that we're called to be. The Holy Spirit, though, in itself is a little bit of a mystery. Very, very hard to explain. It's controversial for sure. Churches divide over Holy Spirit and the different teachings that you could find on his role in our lives and his role in the church and that. And I think especially in our Western culture, the whole realm of spirit is just not known. We live in such a materialistic world, and we're just surrounded by so much stuff that we really don't have a very good grasp on the spiritual world, the spiritual realm. And not, I think, a lot much more so in some of the more less advanced, maybe more poverty, third world countries and things like that, where they do not have many material things and stuff like that. They are much more in tune with the spiritual world. And you get into your primitive tribes, they understand spirit much more than we do. because of that. So what I want to do today, this is kind of a funny sermon. I have struggled with it an awful lot. Is just look at some of the foundational, some of the principal things of spirit and what that is. How do we build on that? How do we understand that? And to say that, I also say it's hard to describe, it's hard to put into words because it's not anything physical. I can't show you, I can't do it on the slideshow or anything like that. Where the spirit is, where the spiritual world is. So it's very hard to describe, the same as it would be hard to describe feelings or emotions or things like that. How would you explain that to somebody, what it means to be happy, if they did not know? And so it's maybe not so much that we understand as that we experience these things. And then they become very, very real to us, even if we can't put them into words. But we know that we know. And we've experienced His moving in our lives. So just looking first at just the spiritual world around us that we are not very aware of. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 18. Therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen.
So there's the outward man, that's growing old, growing tired, aches and pains as you get a little older and that, and all of us headed to the grave. We're not going to, in this world, live forever, but there's an internal man there, an inner man, that's being renewed day by day, that should be growing, that should be finding more and more life as we continue on this journey. And there's where our heart needs to be, where our attention needs to be, is on the inner man and on this world here that it talks about where the things that are not seen. Again, this, and boy, and that's so hard to explain the reality of the physical world that we see versus the spiritual world that we don't see, but it's that spiritual world that's the eternal one. It is going to last forever. This world is, God says at some point in time, He's going to burn this world up. It's all going to melt. It's all going to be gone. And certainly in our lifetimes, that is true as well. All the things that I can gather around me, all the things that I can accumulate in my lifetime, I'm not taking any of them with me. They're all just going to fade away as life goes on. So, but the eternal is what we need to be focusing on. That's the unseen world, the spiritual realm, and that's actually the dominant world out there. And that we're called to live and walk and focus in. Let's look at John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Worship is not the outward expressions. It overflows into that, but it's not just the emotions and the feelings of that. Worship is something much more that happens in your heart. To connect with God, an unseen God, and maybe an unfelt God, but to know that He is there. And worship is truth as well. And we know that Jesus says He's the truth. So again, the focus is maybe not Holy Spirit and the feelings and things like that that might go with that. Is the focus is on Jesus, the one who gave it all.
Amen.
The song that we sang said that. And we know the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And so the truth is that this physical world that we're living in and so wrapped up in is a temporary kind of shadow world. It is real. We're not saying, you know, that this is just all imaginary and stuff like that, you know. Hit me on the head, I'll believe it's very real type of thing. But with that, so in there it says God is spirit at the beginning of that. God dwells, God is spirit. And so to relate to God, we need to be aware of what spirit is, where this spirit world is. John, 1 John 4:16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. There, if you're a logic person, we've just looked at two statements. God is spirit and God is love. And if those are both equal, according to my geometry days or logic days or something like that, we can make the conclusion then that love is also a spirit, right? It's not something I can show you. It's not something in the physical world. But how real is that love? How does it change our lives? How does it change the dynamics that we live in? We thrive in a loving environment. And if that's not there, then life is going to be very difficult for us, very hard to do that. And so we see that there is this spiritual world out there, a spiritual realm, that is just as full as this material world is. And the more real it's going to be, the eternal one.
Amen.
With that. And there are angels that live in that world. There are fallen spirits. It talks about the heavenly hosts that aren't described very well in Scripture. There's just all kinds of things. If love is a spiritual thing, then is peace, is righteousness, is truth, are those as well more in the spiritual realm. And so there's where we're called to live and to have our focus. And again, boy, how do you describe that? You know, how many angels are present in this room right now? Can't see them. But you better believe they're here. They came in with us. And you could also say, could there be some unclean spirits hiding in the corner someplace that we also brought in with us at times? This unseen world is just so... the example I give of that, or one of them, is the things that we don't see... cell phone signals. How many cell phone signals are in this building right now? At work, I used to call people to try to arrange appointments for them. And sometimes I would call them and they'd answer their cell phone and they'd say, "Well, gee, that's going to be hard to schedule an appointment. We're in Hawaii or we're down in Florida." Well, how did that signal find them? It did not know where they were. That signal was just sent all over the world. And the one phone that had the receiver dialed to the right frequency picked it up. So all the cell phone calls going around in the world, if you had the right phone and your phone wasn't on silence like it's supposed to be, could ring in here. You know, there's just so much. And you could talk about radio signals. You know, if you had it tuned to the right frequency, how many different radio channels could be zooming through here and we don't see. So, and those are more just even physical examples of that, but that spiritual world is so real, so there, and yet it's so hard because we don't see it. And so then the question is, how do we connect to this world if we can't see it? How do we make that connection? If God is spirit, how do we connect to God? And the answer to that is that that we also are spiritual beings. We have Amen. Spirits as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it's showing us, telling us that we are made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit, and that all of them are real, all of them are going to be sanctified entirely, all of them are going to be preserved complete without blame. And so we need to look at that. We're made up of three parts, the body, the soul, which in my studies, Watchman Nee, who I like seems to explain this as good as anybody, soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Amen. The things you think about, the things that you feel, and the decisions that you make because of that. And then there is the spirit as well. And we have in the soul, our mind, will, and the emotions is kind of internal inside of us. And it processes the information. We have five senses in our body that connect with this physical world. And it's sending all of those signals. My eyes are seeing you all sitting there today. I can hear the different things and that's how we connect to this physical world. If you lost all five of your senses, you would be, I don't know, a vegetable. You would be laying there. No awareness at all of this world that is so real to us. And in the same way then, our spirit, and so that the information comes in through our five senses from this outside world, through our eyes, through our ears, through our touch, and it processes then in our soul. Oh, this person's here, that person's not there, and it affects our emotions. Oh, I'm really happy to see you today, and oh, that person again. And we may begin to process all of that information and make decisions. I won't go there, that thought. And the same is true then in the spiritual realm. We have spiritual senses that connect to this spiritual world. And again, that comes into our soul and is processed there. And that's why it's very hard to discern that. Where are these thoughts and things coming from? Where are these emotions coming from? Are they coming from a spiritual realm? Are they coming from the physical realm that I am trying to process and make decisions with those things, how I act? So that's just an important thing to go, that the spiritual world is communicating with us as well. We're picking up things that way, right? Conscience is probably a part of the spiritual world. Where does that little voice come from? Oh, you shouldn't do that. That's not right. This world doesn't tell you that. This world says, well, if you can get away with it, do it. It's only wrong if you get caught. But someplace there's that voice inside of us that's saying, no, this is wrong. And that is part of the spirit speaking to us. That's part of that. And you could go on with a list of such things like that. John 6:63. It's the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Our life is really centered. The core of that is in the spiritual world, our spirit relating to this spiritual world. That is where life is. And an eternal life, again, is there. Luke 8:55. Here is taken a verse out of where Jesus is coming and healing or raising the dead for one of the little the girls there that he was called in. She was dead. And it says, and her spirit returned. And she got up immediately and gave orders for something to be given her to eat. Our death is when our spirit leaves, disconnects with our body. And here life comes back to her when that spirit returns. So again, our lives are in that spirit. Lives whether we live or die physically. Galatians 5:17, so we're caught in this the conflict of living in these two different worlds, and how do we manage that? The flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. The flesh, and again, our flesh is a fallen nature that only looks out for itself. It's very self-centered. It's what feels good, what can I get away with, and all of that. The fallen world, with Satan's influence and control over that, versus the spiritual world. And these are, all of our lives are in conflict. They're in opposition to each other. The world is telling you live this way. The spirit is saying live this way. The world is saying, oh, that spiritual stuff, angels and stuff like that, they're not real. Don't listen to that God stuff. You can't see him. The spirit then is calling us to a different world, that eternal world with God. And here is there 2 Corinthians 4:4 kind of paints this picture or gives us another clue into this. In whose case the God of this world, who we know is our enemy, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Until you are born again, until that God gives you sight, you are blind to the things of God, to the gospel message. You can't hear it. You don't understand it, and you can try to explain it all that you want. And so that's the state that we live in outside of Christ. We still have a spirit. We still connect with the spiritual world, but we cannot connect to God. Because sin, because there's a barrier between us that God's face is hidden from us. He can't tolerate that sin in us. Can't see him there until that is removed. And we know that is done by Christ on the cross. That barrier is taken away. And all of a sudden we can gain our sight and we can see that. Another example of that might be I think another thing of that I've heard explanation of the spirit is what the spirit is, what draws you to something bigger than yourself. Your spirit is what looks up at the sky and sees the stars. And there's a sense of awe. There's a sense of wonder. You know, you can just sit there for quite a while. Or your spirit is what attracts you to the beautiful sunset. You know, and you just stop and you can't take your eyes off of the driving the other day and the full moon was rising up there. And it was just so beautiful, I just about ran off the road because I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And we all see that. And yet, when our spirits are awoken, when our eyes are open, we not only see the stars, we not only see the sunset, but we see the God who made those things.
Amen.
And all of a sudden we are caught into that spirit of worship. We are caught in that spirit of awe of something so much bigger than ourselves. Born again person might see the sunset, might say that's beautiful and paint pictures of it, everything else, but he's not going to connect to the God that made that sunset. So as we look at that spiritual realm, just another little step I would want to take is what does that look like? And the idea of if the spirit is real, is where we're going to live, is the dominant factor in our lives, how does that work out in this world? And we talked about this a few weeks ago in the resurrection series, these verses in 1 Corinthians 15. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, a physical body, and it's raised a spiritual body. And if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So with that again, what's that like? And this is the body that Jesus had when he was resurrected. He was no longer limited by the physical world. He still had a body. He could still say, hey, touch me. Give me something to eat. It wasn't that it was just all spirit. He still had that body, but it was also a spiritual body operating on a different level. He could just walk through the wall. He could show up here. He could show up there. Wasn't limited by time and space. He didn't have to walk someplace and that. He was just free to go and do what he wanted. And that is the hope that we all have. That in the resurrection, our spirits, so when we die, are going to leave this body and go up to be in the Lord's presence. But there's going to be a day when our bodies are resurrected again. And it's going to be that resurrected body that is not limited to time and space. It's not limited to this physical world and the laws of this world. I believe that's probably how Jesus was able to, again, the spiritual realm being the dominant one, the more real one, that's how he was able to walk on water. That's how he was able to do the miracles he did, because that is the more real world of the two. And so that is the hope that we have. But in the meantime, here in this world, we're still kind of stuck, aren't we? We're still living in a very physical world. That I can't just zoop wherever I want to go and things like that. I'm going to see my kids, I got to drive there. I've got to fly there or wherever they are. So we're still living in this body. Our soul is still processing things, but we're born of the Spirit. There's this new life that he has given us, poured out on that, but it's not yet complete. Ephesians 1 shows us that picture some. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Okay, we're still in this limited world, still very much a part of the flesh and that, and yet God has now given us his Holy Spirit. Just a foretaste, just a sample type of thing of that, not in its fullness or that yet, but the promise is there. And again, how is that? The message of truth, the gospel of salvation, that you believed. And when that belief comes, again, belief in Christ, then the Holy Spirit follows after that. And you're sealed with him. Sealed is something, permanently attached. It's, stamped. This belongs to me. This is who I am. And it's given as a pledge, a down payment. You are going to have that resurrected body someday, but right now you are walking in the Spirit here as the Spirit guides and directs you in these times. He guides us, he teaches us all things. find that in John. He's the truth, he's the helper, he's the comforter. Allows us as we yield to him to experience and grow in this spiritual world, to walk in the Spirit that we'll probably be talking about in some of the days ahead. Going on there just then, so spiritual realm, we have a spirit that connects to that, and how does that correlate then to our experience now and to our salvation? Romans 8. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoptions as sons, by which you cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. There is an assurance that we can have, and it's an assurance in our spirit. Amen. I can't explain it. I can't show you what that is. But someplace, and this should be the experience of every believer, that I know, that I know, that I know that I'm saved.
Amen.
And that is the expectation here. Again, the Spirit of God confirming that to me, that I've been sealed with this. I've been given the pledge of that Holy Spirit. And so our faith, our assurance should never be, I think so, maybe I'm saved. The promise is, I know that I know. His Spirit is bearing witness with me. Amen. That I am a child of his. Amen. Not a perfect one. Doesn't mean that I don't struggle at times or things like that. But there is a reality that I cannot escape from. What God has done in my heart and life, what he's opened my eyes to see into this spiritual world. And I would say with that, it's not a spirit of fear again, a spirit of slavery that it talked about, but a spirit of adoption as sons. Remember, God is spirit, God is love. If there's one thing the Spirit should be telling us, the first thing that he should be telling each and every one of us that we should be hearing from him is, you are loved. You are cherished. You are the delight of my eyes.
Amen.
I would give my son for you. And we need to live in that assurance.
Amen.
What a difference that makes when I know I'm loved by the King.
Amen.
I'm a child of his. It takes away all the fear. It takes away all the striving and the stress of that. And I just get to run to my dad, run to my father, and ask for help. And bring him my troubles and ask for his advice and the comfort that I need. And I would say with that, if we should be assured of our salvation, that I know that I'm saved, I know that I'm born again, we also ought to be sure of our relationship with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is present in my life. And I think too often as a church, that's where we fall short. We do pretty good preaching salvation, but we don't do very well teaching on the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that gives the power. He's the one that gives you the ability to live that life and to a place where it's overflowing, where witnessing does not become a chore or a hard thing. Or, boy, I ought to do that. As much as I can't stop talking about Jesus. His love compels me. I'm so excited, so thrilled with what he has done for me. So we need to be very aware, again, as believers, that the Holy Spirit has been given to you.
Amen.
It's not, I think so, or maybe so. And again, and sometimes the churches get that mixed up because they'll say, well, you can't really be sure you're filled with the Spirit unless you're speaking in tongues. You'll find churches that say that. And, well, maybe I can mumble some things sometimes, but is that really a spirit language, or is that just me mumbling something? And so I don't know if I've really got the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, you do. If you're a born-again child of God, He gives that Spirit to us. And so then be aware of that and begin to incorporate that into your life, that He is a helper, and you can ask Him to help. He is your comforter. He is that Spirit of truth in all of this world that doesn't know what truth is anymore, what's reality. John 3:5-7, we'll close with this. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again."
Amen.
And that's born of the Spirit. The born of the water, you can get different interpretations of that. Some people will say that's natural birth. Some people will say that's baptism. You can read any number of theories on that, but you need to be born of the Spirit. And it is. Let me just close with these thoughts. You know, we don't, again, the spiritual world is very hard to discern and stuff like that. But probably most of you have sat in a service like this or someplace where the Spirit of God is talking to you. He's convicting you of sin. He's calling you. He's drawing you. Have you been there? Have you had that sense? The altar is open and you're sitting back there fighting. Am I going to respond or am I not going to respond? Is this just my imagination? What are people going to think of me? And there's that very still, quiet voice inside of you. Where is it coming from? Nothing here in this physical world. It's God speaking to you. His Spirit moving on your spirit, calling you to come. And so, yeah, all of a sudden I've experienced that any number of times in my life. And I guess you could go the other way as well, that, you know, sometimes just there are unclean spirits in this world as well, and spirits that want to do you harm. And do those voices ever come into your head? You ever struggle with that? Oh, I'm so angry. I was really like, all of that, and where are those coming from? Are those lustful thoughts that maybe come in? Where are those coming from? Not this world as much as, again, the spiritual world that is coming in and trying to destroy you. So that spiritual world is very, very real, is what I'm saying. And it is something that we experience. And yet we don't recognize it, and we don't put our thumb on it or give it that name of, oh, that's the Spirit of God talking to me. Or that's an unclean spirit talking to me and trying to mess up my life. So with that, we have Sunday afternoon questions. Just how aware of the spiritual world are you? Do you see that around you, or is it just all the physical world? And then how would you describe, and this is a tough question, the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you are children of God? And I don't know that you can describe that or explain that, but is that a reality? And then what role does the Holy Spirit play in your life? Is He real? Is He involved in your life? Or do we, just because we can't see Him, we kind of just don't think He's there? So kind of looking forward to a series on the Holy Spirit, a few more weeks of this. We need that to live the Christian life. We need, that's what's going to make us successful. That's what's going to make us fulfilled. But to live the Christian life in your own strength, in your own wisdom, is just setting yourself up for a lot of frustration, a lot of failure, and wanting to give up at some point in time. But that power is available to us to live that life in the fullness, the abundance that God has for us. Amen. So Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day, this time, Your Spirit just being here and speaking to us. to talk of these things that can't really understand or explain, and yet they're real, and yet we see that in our lives as well, that we can experience those things more sometimes than we understand them even. So Holy Spirit, your desire is always to make Jesus known. You want Jesus to be in the forefront. And so, Lord, that would be that we would see Jesus this day. And we would walk with him. We would know his love. We would know the example that he set, the fellowship that we can have with him through the Spirit. So, Lord, that we would walk in the fullness of that this day, these days, that you would be glorified, that your kingdom would come, and that your will could be done in our hearts and lives. Amen.
Amen.